everyone, and welcome back to Wait, What? Why? The podcast that ponders the origins of why we do the things that we do. Thank you for taking the time to join us today. In this episode, we are discussing the origins of trick-or-treating. Nicole Gallagher. I'm your host, and this is my husband,
Dennis Gallagher.
Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for joining us.
How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm doing lovely. Thank you very much.
Yeah. It's kind of a rainy day, but normally that'd be kind of ho-hum, but it's been a productive day. So I'm feeling good.
Yeah, me too.
You feeling good too?
I am.
Yeah, you were a little under the weather yesterday, yeah?
Yeah.
Good?
I feel great.
Excellent. Perfect.
Just need a little rest.
Excellent.
All right, so trick-or-treating.
Yes.
Tell me what you know. Give me everything.
Lots of candy, more candy than I ever seem to be able to eat, to be honest with you. But yeah, dress up, hit as many houses as you can, get as much candy as you can, see as many other costumes as you can, you know, hopefully hook up with your friends. And
pillowcases or little candy holders?
I want to say little candy holders when I was a little kid, I'm pretty sure. I think it devolved into pillowcases as I...
Evolved or devolved?
Devolved is the way I look at it. So you go from a cute bag or a pumpkin head to just a pillowcase. That's not a step forward. I guess capacity-wise it is, but I didn't look at it that way. Seemed like the older kids always had the pillowcases because they didn't care as much about their costumes. They'd also show up with just a mask on, you know?
Did you... go as a teenager? When did you stop trick-or-treating?
No, I guess probably as a teenager, maybe 12, 13. But like I said, I'm just not a big candy eater. And you would just get so much candy. It kind of turned more into, you know, a party. People would get together, that kind of thing, as you get into your
Halloween
teens.
Costume
yeah, Halloween
parties.
Costume parties, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So sometimes even school organized or whatever, but that's what I remember. What about you?
Same super cute costumes. My mom always made them for me and they were amazing. I was in dance, tap, jazz, and ballet for most of my life. So she would usually transform my dance costumes into some sort of amazing Halloween costume. And I think I always had a cute, not a pillowcase, but like a cute little bag or, you know, they would give away like free bags at the supermarkets and you did the coloring contests and stuff like that. So I think that's what I use. But
Shout out to Diane then, right? Shout out to your mom.
She's a very crafty woman.
Yeah, woo.
And I think the same as you. I did it all the way up until probably middle school and then it was, you know, for party purposes after that. But candy was always a big hit with me. I always liked candy, and I still do.
I seem to remember my brothers, both my brothers, just living off my candy for months to come because they knew I would need it. I gave them permission to do it. You know, it would be in some drawer in my room or something, and I'd come in, and they'd be fumbling through my drawer. Look, all the Butterfingers are gone, or whatever it was, you know.
What was your favorite?
Butterfingers. Butterfingers. Absolutely, yeah, Butterfingers. Which, you know, stick to your teeth, but whatever. They're super tasty.
As a kid, I loved Sugar Daddies or Sugar Babies, which now I can't do. I feel like my teeth are going to fall out,
right?
And like a
fill-in
will pop out. But as a kid,
they were pretty rugged. Yeah,
they were pretty rugged. Amazing. I love them. And I never, as a kid, had full-size candy bars given out, ever. That's a thing.
Nowadays we've done it. You know, we've given them out. Yeah, it is a thing now. Same thing. Everything was miniature size, unless it was an apple. You know, unless there was someone giving out, like, candied apples, which, of course, you can't do anymore.
Oh, remember the razor blades and apples and checking the candy.
I still wanted the apples when I was a kid. I wasn't, you know, deterred
really?
At all.
Really? You ate the apples?
Oh, yeah.
That was, like, the worst thing anyone could give me.
Oh,
like,
no,
that
I
and, like,
apples.
Those cheap little... friendly four-pack of crayons you'd get or something like that.
I just kept on telling you I didn't like much of the candy. I mean, that's why did people give out apples? The candied apples. It's not like they're super healthy.
Oh, candied apples are totally different from regular apples.
Oh, I said candied apples.
Did you?
I did.
I'm sorry, I missed it.
Yeah,
I thought you just said apples.
People just
candied
giving out apples.
Apples would be amazing.
That used to happen as a kid, no
doubt.
No
one gave those out.
Oh, yeah, I remember even the caramel ones, the wax paper on the bottom. Mm. You'd have someone that have a whole tray of them.
We had popcorn balls.
Yeah, I remember that.
Were always good. Anyway,
good time. Yeah, so, I mean, it was obviously, it was a big deal, trick-or-treating. One funky thing, I don't know if you plan on talking about this, but we live in New Hampshire now, so it's different everywhere, I guess, but, like, we grew up in Mass, and Halloween was on Halloween. You trick-or-treated on Halloween, no questions. Up here, they kind of pick dates on the calendar, which is odd.
Yeah, no, it's the night before.
Cities and towns do it different.
You trick-or-treat the night before in our town. It's always the night before.
It used to be on Halloween.
When we grew up, it was just on Halloween.
It didn't matter what day, exactly.
Right. So it didn't matter what day it fell on, a Monday or a Tuesday, but
it's totally different now.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. Let us know if you're out there. If you trick or treat on a different day, All Hallows Eve, Beggar's Night, they call it. There's a whole bunch of different.
I was going to say there is, isn't there?
Yeah. So I'd be interested to know where you live and what you do. Where you are, so you can let us know, and that'd be pretty cool to add. I also wanted to say that I find it weird now as an adult and having children of our own that the whole stranger danger thing just doesn't apply on Halloween or trick-or-treat night.
Well, what do you mean?
You go in groups and you know, that kind of thing, but the worst thing you can ever do is take candy from a stranger, and then on Halloween it's just
do
that.
Okay, I get you.
It's okay.
The one day that's
it's
exception.
It's acceptable.
Yes, that's it. Well, you go into their house, or you go to their house anyway,
right.
So it's different. You know, they're not just approaching you on the sidewalk or in a white van or something.
That's true.
Right?
Right.
A little different.
White
so it's
vans
an endorsed,
are always a scary thing.
So that's what it is then. So we just stumbled onto it. So everybody wants to give out candy all the time, but they can't because you can't just be giving out candy all the time because you're a stranger danger. Right? You're the stranger in the danger, right? You're the danger. But that one night a year, we set it aside and we can all give out candy. It's what we want to do anyways.
So the creeps win on that night.
The creeps win on that night, right? They do, but we disguise all the kids. So, you know what I mean?
That's true.
They're confused. The creeps are probably confused.
This is why it's important to check candy too, which we always did every year.
Yes.
Anything unwrapped or that looks, you know.
Yeah, suspect at all. Yeah. It's been tampered with
at
all.
Toss.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we
have three children, and you probably did this with your brothers. I think my brother and I were very like, no, it's mine. I'm not sharing anything, even if I don't like it. But our kids did the swap.
Oh, yeah. I told you mine was a full-blown swap.
It's like candy on the floor. Everyone take inventory of what they have, and then the trading begins.
Yeah. Yeah, that's always the way.
It's like the stock market.
It's a communal thing, yeah. It's a communal thing, yes, absolutely. We used to do the same thing with our field meals in the Marines. Everyone would just it turned into a flea market, you know. Same thing with the candy, absolutely.
That's funny. The other thing I just wanted to say, on Halloween, we play the music, we decorate our house, we try to make it earlier hours, right, when the little ones come out, we play fun music.
Yeah,
like Monster Mash and, you know, like fun Halloween music. And then as soon as it gets dark, the scary music comes on.
Yeah. And chains and the howling wolves.
Yes, and the jack-o'-lanterns get lit. And
we put the whole stereo set up out in front of the house. We used to anyways.
And I would give candy just for all those, like, teenagers. If you're a teenager out there listening, you can trick-or-treat as old as you want to be, but I'm not giving you candy if you're not dressed up.
You have something on. Again, at least the mask.
You have to pretend.
Yes. Throw a Jason Voorhees mask on, something.
Yeah, scream mask.
Make an attempt. You want the Snickers bar?
Yeah.
You got to make an attempt.
Yeah.
Walking around the neighborhood is not an attempt.
That is true.
Carrying a pillowcase.
So if you listen to this, just dress up.
Step it up. Step it up is what we're saying.
Teenagers. I love the costumes. That's my favorite part.
And then it's funny, too, because as the night goes, I just end up just pumping candy into those late people who try to get rid of all the candy you have. Like, they win.
Yeah, they
definitely win.
Go ahead, take one more.
Exactly.
Take another handful.
Yes.
That's fine. So we're going to talk about the origins behind trick-or-treating
today. Cool, because I have no idea where it comes
from. Well, I was just going to – come on.
Well,
this is our fourth episode.
Yeah.
We've talked about superstitions for two episodes.
Yep.
We talked about the origins of jack-o'-lanterns and Stingy Jack in episode 3. They all kind of have a common...
Uh-oh, common ground, common threads?
Well, the origins.
The origins.
Any idea?
It is Gaelic. It's, yes.
Celtic.
Celtic.
Yeah.
Celtic. Got it.
The ancient Celts.
The ancient Celts.
Celts.
They started a lot.
Yes.
They really did.
They did.
Huh. At least as far as impact on our country, right? I mean, that's for sure.
So a lot of the information I have is from history.com. Like I say, I use that a lot for my resources and Wikipedia too. But so trick-or-treating has been in the United States. It's most prevalent in the United States, Canada, the UK, Republic of Ireland, Australia, Puerto Rico, Northwestern and Central Mexico. Like those are, that's where it's most prevalent. But it started in ancient Celtic festivals, which includes, where is ancient Celtic? Let's see. That's now Ireland, UK, Northern France. So okay. That's when we say, you know, ancient Celts, where we're
covered that kind of area.
Yes.
That was the geographic area.
Yes, we are. It also traces back to Roman Catholic holidays, medieval practices, and British politics.
Hmm. Nice. How does it relate to all that, you know?
Have you ever heard of Guy Fawkes celebration?
I don't believe I have.
Well, we're going to talk about
all
it.
All right, cool.
Well, I'm going to start off with the ancient origins, though.
Okay.
Okay. So, pre-Christian Celtic festival, Samhain. We kind of talked about that a little bit.
A little bit.
When we talked about Stingy Jack in our last episode. But Samhain was celebrated on October 31st, which is our Halloween. The Celts lived over 2,000 years ago. And on this sacred night, they believed that the dead returned to the earth.
Interesting.
Yes. And they gather to light bonfires, offer sacrifices, and pay homage to the dead. So pretty... what am I thinking of? Like Day of the Dead kind of stuff.
Yeah, Day of the Dead. Yes. That's in Mexico, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Not the same day.
Though. No.
It's like November.
Same Day of the Dead, isn't it? That's all it is.
Yes. So in the Celtic celebrations, the villagers disguised themselves in costumes that were made of animal skins that would drive away phantom visitors. They would even prepare and put out food to placate the unwelcome spirits. So that's different than Day of the Dead. That's opposite.
Right.
Day of the Dead, they honored the spirits. And in this one, they're trying to placate them and make them go away.
Right.
A little different.
Nowadays, we dress like Spider-Man.
I do love that.
Yeah.
In later centuries, people began dressing as ghosts, demons, and other malevolent creatures, performing antics in exchange for food and drink. And this custom became known as mumming or miming. Which I never heard of that until I did this.
Neither
but that dates back to the Middle Ages and is thought to be the antecedent of trick-or-treating. So like the origins of the actual trick-or-treating, dressing up and performing for someone in exchange for food and drinks.
Okay.
And then by the 9th century, Christianity had spread to Celtic lands where it gradually blended with the older pagan rites. And then in around 1000 AD, the church designated November 2nd as All Souls Day. A time for honoring the dead.
Okay. That's still, it had to have something to do with the moon and the time of the year and like the lunar calendar, because now it's a couple of days different, right? You said November 2nd?
This is November 2nd as honoring the dead, though.
Okay,
All Souls Day.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Not Halloween.
I'm sorry. My bad. Yep.
Celebrations in England resembled Celtic commemorations of Samhain, complete with bonfires and masquerades. So looked very similar in the traditions that they did.
It but sounds was to a me little like different. They just wanted to party for those few days, right?
There's always a reason to party,
yeah, right? And this just happened to be the one that time of year, for sure.
Oh, and now with the national calendar, you can always find a reason to celebrate.
Yeah, pick a day.
National Celebration Day, right? Well, I wonder what today is.
We should pick it up. National Celebration Day, yeah.
Every day there's something to celebrate.
Yeah.
So, let's see. Poor people would visit the houses of wealthier families and receive pastries called soul cakes. In exchange for a promise to pray for the souls of the homeowner's dead relatives. This was known as souling. The practice was later taken up by children who would go from door to door asking for gifts such as food, money, and ale.
Hmm.
Back at a time when you could drink at any age.
True.
But I've heard of souling, like soul cakes.
Hmm. Never
it's
heard of that.
It's kind of like begging, and if you give me this, then I'll pray for your family members.
That's an old school Snickers bar.
Might be.
Right?
You know what? We should look up what soul cakes are made out of.
They're made out of Snickers bars.
They would be delicious.
They would be delicious.
Snickers are satisfying.
Heck yeah.
And then in Scotland and Ireland, young people took part in the tradition and they called it guising. So we went from souling, well, from mumming to souling to guising. And they dressed up in costume and accepting offerings from various households. And rather than pledging to pray for the dead, they would sing a song, recite a poem or tell a joke or do some sort of trick before collecting their treat, which usually consisted of fruit, nuts, or coins.
Interesting.
Well, I feel like it was, I will do a trick for a treat, not to give.
Like a performance.
Like you don't show up and say, all right, give me a treat or do a trick. It's like, I'll do a trick for a treat.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
But I've never done any of that either.
Nope, you need to just treat.
So it's I wonder why we say trick or treat.
I don't know.
Because that's the opposite of
how
what we're
saying. How is that not part of your research?
You know, you might want to step it up a notch. How about?
I do no research. On-air talent.
So you call yourself. All right. So that's like kind of the background, the ancient background with the Celts and Christianity and all that. So the British politics, that's Guy Fawkes Night celebrations.
Okay.
So this is kind of neat because it was also known as Bonfire Night. It's Guy Fawkes Night. On this night, which commemorates the foiling of the gunpowder plot in 1605, the British children wore masks and carry effigies while begging for pennies. On November 5th, 1606, Fawkes was executed for his role in the Catholic-led conspiracy to blow up England's Parliament building and remove King James I, a Protestant, from power.
Wow, terrorism back in the day.
Yes, and he Guy Fawkes was celebrated because of that.
Wow,
trying to overthrow
the government.
Yeah, so on the original Guy Fawkes Day, celebrated immediately after his execution, communal bonfires, or bonefires, were lit to burn effigies and the symbolic bones of the Catholic Pope. And by the early 19th century, children bearing effigies of Fawkes were roaming the streets on the evening of November 5th, asking for a penny for the guy.
Interesting.
That was interesting.
Yeah.
I never knew that.
Well, he must have had a lot of backing. I mean, the government he was trying to overthrow was not popular. Right, sure.
So some American colonists celebrated Guy Fawkes Day in the mid-19th century. Large number of new immigrants. And we talked about this a little bit.
Irish immigration. Yes. Yeah, no doubt.
From all over. So all these traditions, right, it's cultural diffusion. They spread across, areas just based on immigration and migration. So large numbers of new immigrants, especially those fleeing the Irish potato famine in the 1840s, helped popularize Halloween. And then in the early 20th century, Irish and Scottish communities revived the old world traditions of souling and guising in the United States. And by the 1920s, however, pranks started becoming part of the Halloween activity of choice.
On pranks. So now we're back to the tricks for sure. Oh, pranks. I know what you mean. Okay.
Like what?
Yeah, like throwing toilet paper around
exactly.
And stuff like that. Yes.
Exactly. And I didn't get into this a lot, but I was intrigued by it because reading about it on history.com, there was a hyperlink that Halloween was once so dangerous that some cities considered banning it because of
the tricks had gotten out of
pranks had gotten out of hand and became like, graffiti and like trespassing and damaging.
Fire danger,
vandalism.
I'm sure, back then. Yeah, exactly. Everything was made of wood. Everything was a tinderbox, sure.
And that had to do with the Great Depression at the time period because it was 1920s.
Yep.
So there were like physical assaults, sporadic attacks of violence, so things like that.
So it sounds more like it was turning into the Purge. They had to shut it down.
Yes. And then it's just this is kind of just a neat little history. Then in the with the outbreak of World War II, sugar rationing, meant that they couldn't hand out treats.
Let me guess. They started giving out apples.
I don't know.
Come on.
They're rationing food. I don't think they were giving out anything.
Couldn't give out tires either. They were rationing those too.
Yeah.
Dang.
We're saving everything. But kind of Halloween or trick-or-treating kind of came to a little halt. It got very violent in the 20s. Then we had the war, so the supplies were low.
Yep.
And then the post-war baby boom
brought it back storming.
Yes, it reclaimed its place among the other
holidays. Got candy again.
Yes.
Yes. Nice.
So, and that's it. And newly built suburbs, people started trick-or-treating, became even more popular. You were no longer had to, ration sugar.
Yeah, that urban sprawl, too. So, like you said, when the baby boomers came back and we built just huge subdivision kind of deal and neighborhoods grew. So, there was plenty of places to go, lots of families.
Yeah. And then, of course, commercialism came along.
Yeah, which is why I keep saying Snickers.
So...
Right. Or Hershey's probably would be even a better example. Hershey's.
You know, it's funny because growing up, Hershey's Kisses were big, but like I never really ate a Hershey's bar unless I was going to have s'mores.
I ate one the other night.
Who
brought that in the house?
I don't know.
Oh my goodness.
I didn't.
Anyways.
But my students love Hershey bars. Like if they had a choice of like Hershey's, Snickers, Kit Kats, whatever, they go for Hershey's. Mm.
Have you told everybody you were a teacher?
I think I did.
Okay, just making sure.
I think in one of them we did. I teach.
She doesn't have podcast students. She has like other, you know, regular students.
I teach seventh grade.
There you go. All right. So now we all know. But that's crazy. They like the simple Hershey bar.
The Hershey bar all the time. They go for the Hershey bar.
I mean, it is good. You know, milk chocolate.
It's delicious.
It sure is.
I'm not going to lie.
Especially frozen.
Is that where it was in our freezer?
Was is the past tense, yes.
That's funny.
Yeah.
So then we have commercialization of the candy companies and launching their national advertising. You know, this was huge. That was a time of, you know, big advertising.
Yeah, well, TV emerged, right? It went beyond, you went from print ad to all of a sudden TV,
yes.
you know, that's the time frame you're talking. And yeah, the rest, as they say, is history. I mean, now we have 200 channels, but even with three channels, they were advertising, you know, hardcore for different products.
On radio, print.
Yep.
Print was probably
and
the biggest.
Sugar's not hard to sell. And you know what I mean? It's definitely not hard to sell. Everyone likes it.
So one other little fun fact was that today, Americans spend an estimated of $2.6 billion on Halloween candy.
That's a lot of dollars.
And that's in our country. National Retail Federation said that.
Wow.
And it's become the nation's second largest commercial holiday. I find that fact hard to believe.
Yeah, think about that for a minute, right? Well, I guess all the merchandise that goes with it, if we can call the costumes and the decorations merchandise, all the stuff that goes with it, and then the purchasing of the food, in the way of candy and whatnot, parties.
What about Valentine's Day? Christmas?
Yeah, but you have to have a Valentine. I mean, you don't have to have anything to go trick-or-treating. You know what I mean? It's, I don't know. Christmas obviously is going to be the biggest one, right?
Christmas has to be the biggest one.
That doesn't necessarily surprise me. I mean, Thanksgiving, everyone gets dressed up and stuff.
No, Thanksgiving isn't, but I'm talking as far as largest commercial holidays, right?
Yeah, I guess I can see Valentine's being a big one. That makes sense.
It has to be. Christmas has to be number one. Oh, this result I found doesn't match up with that at all. This is why you got to fact check people.
Well, you said you got that stuff from history.com, right?
That was history.com.
So, I mean, that's from fact checking history.com.
And what I'm looking at right now is from 2011. So how
could be
good
old data.
Is that? But yeah, it says, according to this one, it says Christmas.
Of course.
Then Thanksgiving, which I wouldn't have put up there.
No.
Mother's Day.
Wow. I'm
then
shorting
Easter,
you on Mother's Day.
Then Father. Yeah, you are.
Wow.
It's a good time to talk about that.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding.
Wow.
Halloween.
And
number,
my mother, for that matter.
Halloween, it's number seven.
So that's way different than what you
this.
Were.
That is way different.
Huh. Yeah, there's no way it changed that much. It's just very conflicting information. Find a third source.
I am right now. I got to check my sources, though. I'm not sure I believe this.
I don't. I'll tell you what. Thanksgiving is not the second most for us, not the second most expensive for
I
us.
I do
and
love
we host.
It. Yes.
You know, I spend much more money. We spend much more money on the holidays.
So according to this other site, which is a creative resources group, so they do advertising and marketing. And they say yes, because it's not just candy, it's costumes.
Yeah, so that's what I mean. I was thinking.
And parties and the decorations and then the haunted activities and now pets.
Well, how do pets figure into
costumes.
It?
Costumes. People are now dressing their pets.
You know how big a costume we would need for our dog?
We have a German Shepherd.
He's 110 pounds. Maybe today 110. Who knows? 115. But that he would need a person, like a costume.
Right. We wouldn't even be able to get him in it.
He'd be a good Astro.
He would.
From the Jetsons?
He would be good. I always picture him as Blue Falcon. Hey, BF.
Oh, that he'd be good for that, too.
What's
that?
Blue Falcon.
Blue Falcon, yeah.
What's the dog's name?
I forget.
Astro Pup?
I don't know.
No, Astro's from the Jetsons, you just said.
I don't know, but you're way off base now.
I'm sorry.
I mean, the dog and the pup. I can see where it is expensive, for sure.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think in our life.
Well, I don't think we spend that much on Halloween either.
No, I mean, we do decorate.
We do. But we have those year to year. You know what I mean? For the most part.
So the upfront cost maybe was
the upfront cost. Startup cost.
Yeah. But I think we spend like $50 on candy.
Oh, I know. We do good because we get the good stuff.
All right. So here's a fun fact. You ready?
Yes.
Did you know?
No. Yes.
Although it is unknown precisely where and when the phrase trick-or-treat was coined, we were just talking about this earlier, the custom had been firmly established by American popular culture by 1951 when trick-or-treating was depicted in the Peanuts comic strip.
Oh, Charles Schulz, right?
Yep. And then in 1952, Disney produced a cartoon called Trick or Treat featuring Donald Duck and his nephews Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
Remember him like it was yesterday.
Yeah. So there we go.
That is very cool.
It's a little very background cool. behind that. Fun little graphic that is how kids judge your Halloween candy based on what you're based on what you give.
They do judge.
So yeah. So if you were to hand out things like what are the Bitto grannies?
Oh geez.
Bitto honey.
Oh yeah.
Bitto honey, and then those little black and orange ones that
Bitto honeys are like trifolded
taffy
right?
kinds of things. So if you hand out those kinds of things, they refer to you as the old timer.
No one wants that.
No one wants that. And then it says, good candy probably wasn't invented yet when you were a kid. You might even be a Titanic survivor. So we'll respect your effort. At least you're giving something. If you give out random things, and I've heard about people doing this, like ketchup packets and like
chopsticks.
Batteries, mm-hmm. coins, you right. know, things like that.
Yeah. Quarters.
Then you're referred to as the scatterbrain. You get an A for awkward. You're either grossly underestimated or candy was flagrantly forgotten on several grocery lists and you're just scattering about trying to give out whatever you can.
Finding whatever's around the house.
For the people who hand out fruit, which is what I was talking about earlier, mm-hmm. I didn't realize you were saying candy apples. I thought you meant like if they gave you an apple.
Oh, yeah.
But if you give out fruit or low sugar stuff or like, you know, dental floss, then you're the party pooper.
Ooh.
You're probably allergic to sugar yourself and happiness.
No fun, no smiles, no happiness.
That's right. Let's see. If you give out things like the little, you know, snack size, like Skittles and Baby Ruth's and the Crunch Bars, you're the trusty provider. Nothing too fancy, nothing too nasty. You're a solid source of one or two enjoyable or tradable fun-sized treats.
So your house does not get egged.
No. If you hand out things like Tootsie Rolls and Smarties and those, like, you know, the gum that you, like, it was always that softball. It's, like, wrapped up and then, like, bubble gum.
Sure.
It's, like, in an orange wrapper and you can buy it by, like, the tub at the supermarket. But you
Big
can
only, League Chew?
No. It's, like, bubble gum, but you can only chew it for, like, 5 minutes before it turns rock hard.
Yeah, okay. That's, like, cheapskate bubble gum. Yes. Like, the Bazooka Joe kind of stuff?
Yes, but it's not Bazooka Joe either.
That's the old school.
Yeah,
that's puts that's me in right, that old, yeah.
That you just showed your age
yes,
right there.
Sorry about that.
You're the old timer.
I'm only 29.
At least with Bazooka Joe's, you got comic strips.
That's very true. That's very true. I like them more than the gum.
Anyway. Smarties and Tootsie Rolls, your cheapy McCheap face.
Oh, no.
You're handing out candy from last year's after Halloween sales, aren't you?
It's probably stale.
If you hand out, this is a really funny description. Mm-hmm. Necco wafers and candy corn, or those little strawberry-filled candies,
oh,
things like
gross.
That.
I hated those.
You're the psychopath.
Candy corns make you the psychopath.
Your soul must be as dark and bitter as the black licorice.
Oh my goodness.
At least there's no worry about poison and uneaten candy.
This is what the kids think?
This is according, yeah, it's howtobeadad.com, actually. Oh, it's pretty funny. It's a little infographic, but I found it hysterical. And then if you hand out like those full-size bars, like we were talking about, like no one handed out when I was a kid, but they do today. You know, the giant Snickers and all that stuff. Then you are the legend. We shall one day tell our own kids of you, good sir, and the gold-plated private jet you must have laying around somewhere.
Daddy Warbucks.
Yes.
That's right.
So I thought that
Mr.
was
Big
pretty
Pockets.
Funny.
Mr. Big Pockets.
So that's the little guide to how kids judge you by the Halloween candy that you give. We also have favorite candies by states. Should we talk about that? Where are we at?
Well, we could talk about our state. I mean, there's 50 states, honey.
I can't tell. I'll put the link in the notes so everyone can look up the infographic and find out what it is by their state. And, of course, this makes sense because I was just talking about it, is in New Hampshire, it is the Hershey bar, the plain
There you go.
Hershey bar.
Plain Hershey bar.
That's it.
Plain Jane can't go wrong, though.
No. Well, the plain Janes are gross, too. That would be the old-timey.
I don't even know what that is.
Yes.
What is it?
Janes. Plain Janes. I think that's what they were called.
Okay. I meant plain Jane as far as plain. I just was talking about Hershey Pops.
Yeah. And up in the East Coast, like Maine is Starburst. Massachusetts is Skittles. Lots of candy kinds of things. But let's see. I just want to like throw out a state. Let's look at Texas. Nestle Crunch. Nestle Crunch is underrated.
It's okay.
It's delicious.
It's okay.
I love it.
All right.
All right. Anyway, I think that's all I have for today. We're running out of time.
Sure.
You don't have anything else to add?
I don't think so, honey.
All right. So here we go. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to us today. We absolutely appreciate you all. During the month of October, actually, this is our last episode for the month of October, but we do have a bonus episode coming up for you with my daughter, Cameron Gallagher. It's a little bit longer. It's about an hour. We dive into the psychology of fear, and we talk a lot about horror movies and jump scares and horror games and podcasts and things like that. So make sure you tune in for that special episode that will be out, I believe, a week after this. And I also just want to thank Francis for our podcast artwork. Please email us with stories that you want to share with us. I would love to be able to have an episode where we can share some of our listener stories and traditions and things that they do. So please reach out to us at waitwhatwhypod@gmail.com. That's all lowercase, all one word, waitwhatwhypod@gmail.com. And please remember to subscribe, leave a review, and tell a friend. See you next time.
Thank you.